Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just never mind. Thought maybe I'd come up with some funny quip about trading mayonnaise for something. But no, just whatever. Doesn't. Who cares? Who needs it? Who needs it? No Bills trades. Reaction. 803-0550, the number. Sabres in Utah tonight. Here is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you guys this afternoon?
Good. Thank you for calling us.
I just was calling because I was listening to the other caller talk about the need for a wide receiver in order to beat the Chiefs. And I just wanted to respectfully disagree. I think when you see the Chiefs being beat in the postseason, we've seen it. I know the Bengals game, but I'm specifically thinking of the Eagles, Super Bowl, and Tampa. The way that they won those games is because they were all over Patrick Mahomes. And so while I would have loved a receiver, I think it would have been helpful. I think when you look at those blueprints, to me, it made more sense to try to get a defensive end or D-line, splashy D-lineman, rather than and to get the receiver. And I think that's what Bean's sort of leaning into. You know, obviously, we don't know what calls were made. And then my little hot take here is, maybe beating the Chiefs in the regular season was finally what actually helps to beat them in the postseason because maybe they don't make it into the postseason. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Sure. Nice to hear from you. I think they've leaned into trying to build a defense to do what the Eagles and Tampa did to the Chiefs in Super Bowls since the 2020 AFC Championship game loss. That has been maybe front and center. They used every premium asset. They did use Kincaid and Coleman, like their top assets in back-to-back years, on pass catchers, if not, you know, not actual receivers in both cases, but still. And they've not ever gotten there. I would say that this past Sunday was as close as they've come to looking like they could do that. Disrupt, especially up the middle, the way Hoyt was being used. But now that's, to me, pretty seriously compromised by both Oliver and Hoyt being out for the balance of the season here. Hoyt gone until next year. Oliver may be back if they get a rematch with the Chiefs or anybody in the playoffs. So they've been working at that for 5 years now and have not ever really gotten there. There's some bad luck in there because Von Miller looked to be tracking towards being someone who could do that for them, and then he got hurt. And they've had other injuries and yada, yada. But the last 2 years is where I'm here to tell you again, the last 2 years they needed one more play from their offense in spots against the Chiefs, where their defense was terrible and got run over, but they were down by 3 or 4 points in both cases. 3 points in both cases, right? Or was it last year 4? I don't remember.
Three.
either way, you're a field goal away from tying, a touchdown away from taking the lead in the closing stages of the fourth quarter, and they did not have one more play. And that's where having Brian Thomas Jr. at your disposal, or Rashid Shaheed for the whole game even, I don't know that he's going to be my go-to guy on a fourth down or something in the AFC title game, but they have not had enough to make one more play there. And you know, you sometimes will say back to me that, you know, it's maybe not fair to ask the offense for more in games where they have performed so well. And I might be guilty of just looking at the final sequence of the game and saying that's what cost me the game. I just know that they have been of a mind to build the defense to disrupt Mahomes and have missed badly on it until Sunday. And now I think maybe the key guy in that whole thing is out for the year, and they didn't do anything here to supplement the offense so they can score one more touchdown in these scenarios I'm painting, or do what they just did on Sunday to Mahomes. They lost the secret pass key they found to doing that and did nothing to supplement their team. And I don't know, that might either be egregious or ineffectual, because they'll just get there and find someone else to rush on the inside and do what Hoyt was doing, and they'll do just as well. I don't know. But I think there's a strong case to make for either of those two positions being supplemented today, and neither happened.
I don't really know. I don't want to dwell on this now because people are waiting to talk about the topic of the day here. But I just want to say about the point you make all the time about how the season's ended. Last year, fair enough, their last play got blown up. If they had somebody like you're talking about running wide open down the left sideline, I don't even think it matters. Like, Allen is flushed right, and then it ends up all out of Kincaid's hands. The year before is Allen's fault. And then the last play there is he gets blown up again and has to run to the right. And I'm not sure Devontae Adams is really going to make a difference on those two plays. And those are the only two games you could possibly say this about, unless you just want to drop one touchdown into anywhere along the span of a game in the box score, like 13 seconds. You know, maybe they should have been up earlier by more or something like that. Otherwise, the Bengal game didn't end like that. 13 seconds didn't end like that. The first AFC championship wasn't even close. It's these two games, and I think in those specific instances, to me, it's just the point isn't so much I don't have wide receiver one. I did have Stephon Diggs running alone across the middle of the field in the first example. I said I didn't want to dwell on it. We can drag this out anytime you want. We've done it all summer.
It's evergreen.
They can't get Mahomes on the ground. They can't pick him off in all those playoff games. And that's the span of the game. And that's why I would say defense is more about why they lose. Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Great. Thanks.
Disclaimer, I'm a huge Rashid Shaheed fan, so I was hoping they would get him. But I just wanted to just touch on the evolution or the de-evolution of this offense. I mean, back in 2020 when Josh Allen arrived on the scene, what were we doing? We were putting three receivers, four receivers on the field, winging it, throwing it, getting all these offensive touchdowns. Okay, so now we go through, Dorsey gets fired. Now we have Brady. Now we want to throw three tight ends on the field, okay? And then we want to supplement three tight ends with a bunch of guys that are probably threes as a receiver on most teams. Well, good teams anyway. I bet there's some bad teams that would want a three as their number one, but I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender if you're doing that kind of thing. So, Coleman, bust. He's a bust. Let's just be real about that. Coleman is a bust. And Samuel, he's washed. Shakir's probably your only good receiver. He's a two, playing as a one right now. And Elijah Moore's non-existent.
What are we getting at? What's the bottom line here?
When that first down needs to be made, when that touchdown needs to be made, other than, like, Dalton Kincaid, who do you trust?
Well, that's still everybody's question every day.
That's it. I don't have an answer for you other than Kincaid and Cook and Allen. I mean, I want to trust Allen. But what? But you're not wrong to say he missed. in that KC home game. So I just haven't had enough. I love that you use evolution and de-evolution. I finally got around to watching the Devo documentary on Netflix, and it's great. But just hearing de-evolution today just made my day. Anyway,
was Devo short for that?
Yes, that's what the whole thing was
really
about. Yes, they were about the de-evolution of the human race.
There should have been two E's then.
Yeah, well,
like Debo.
Yeah, right.
Is he short? Is that short for something? I don't know. Yep. All right. Thanks, Mike. We go round and round. Mario is next. Hello.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I don't want to beat a dead horse too much. Obviously, little bomb didn't
go. That's what we're here for.
I'm guessing you might actually want to beat the dead horse.
I kind of do too. That's what today is for. Let's beat some horses.
You called us, man.
I cut the horse's head off and put it in Brandon Bean's bed. A little Godfather reference.
Well, yeah, this really took a turn.
I think the issue I have, guys, is, you know, I go back to Bean's comments before the season when he was yelling at Jeremy and Joe. And he made a point to say, you know, the receiver room is better this year than it was last year. What more do you guys want from me? So they must really think that with Palmer and now bringing in Gabe, and that might be what they want to ride with, and what they was out there wasn't that good for them to make a move. But my issue is with Bean, why does he seem hell-bent on stockpiling these picks 28 through 32 as if he's going out there and getting these players every year, and then he has no problem trading out of those spots when the draft day comes. So I don't really understand why he refuses to throw draft capital at players, even if they're a rental that can come and help your team now. I mean, you mean to tell me, I don't know if he tried, but you mean to tell me we wouldn't give up a fourth and a sixth for Myers or a fourth and a fifth for Shahid, even if it was to get them over the hump this year? I question his ability. It used to be fire McDermott and all that chatter, and now you can see, okay, well, is the problem really with your general manager, who seems to be running the Bills like he's who's the Oakland A's manager? He was Bean too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Moneyball guy?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, where he was all about the analytics and making sure he had enough money to build the team for the future, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's the same Bean. Maybe he's in disguise. I don't know. So just want to get your guys' take on if you think Brandon Bean could be someone to be on a hot seat potentially if this thing kind of blows up in his face.
What would qualify as blowing up in his face? Losing like they've been losing the last few years,
I guess.
Blowing up in one's face? I don't know if that qualifies.
We're starting to sound like we're crazy. They are the Super Bowl favorites, or no? What is left to say? We're starting to sound like the Bills are the Dolphins. I think, to me, we're starting to sound like we've gone mad. He would never trade out of this draft pick. He's done it. He's gone up. He's gone down. He's done it lots of times. He traded a third for Amari Cooper last year. He drafted pass catchers with his first pick two of the last 3 years. Is it about effort? It's only partly about effort. You got to execute, but we're starting to sound like we just don't remember any of those things. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, great show, guys. This is great. Hey, one question I have is, are there any other opportunities to add a player, like, towards the end of the year? Don't some guys get bought out or quit get cut, or does that ever happen? I can't remember. I know it does in the NBA. And the other thing that I'm looking at is, you know, we got a lot of guys locked in moving forward. Are they looking ahead a little bit to next year in the new stadium and want to make sure that they got, you know, capital to make some moves and make sure they're putting out a good team out there? Because I feel like they're good enough right now to get, you know, definitely make the playoffs. And, you know, if things fall right, looks like they're scheming a little bit better to make it to the championship again. So, you know, just want to hear if you know anything about adding players. Appreciate it.
It happens.
Yeah, it's waivers, basically. So I wouldn't expect it to be anyone impactful, but, you know, I guess conceivably it could happen.
This was Dalvin Cook 2 years ago ending up on Baltimore. Guys that just get cut, bad teams, seasons go south, and then they're waived. But I think it's a matter of order of the standings, like when you get a bid in on somebody like that. So it's, yeah, it's like what you said. You
yeah, and
shouldn't
not,
expect to
yeah,
improve that
and
way.
Like if you think the Saints are going to decide to cut Chris Olave or something, I would not expect, he doesn't fit the profile of a guy that you would do that with. I wouldn't think. If a player that was going to be impactful was going to get moved, today was the day to do it.
Absolutely. He's not getting cut. He's young and good.
Right.
Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Turns out he wasn't getting traded.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. You're talking about beating a dead horse over the head. Tell me this. I want to know why. Okay, you remember when we 3 years ago when we needed a receiver and we traded for Stephon Diggs. Now, all of a sudden, Matt Hallis comes to us. Have Matt Hallis. We got Shakir. We got Curtis Samuel. When we needed those players, we got them. Then all of a sudden, we trade Diggs away. We trade Matt Hallis away. We had Worthy right there for a draft pick. And we traded him to the same team we've been having trouble with jumping over in the playoffs. Why would we do that? If we need these receivers, why would we trade them away? And then we have a chance to get another one, we trade the pick away.
They're not all the same situations, though. Is that Mac Hollins you're trying to say?
I think that's right, yeah.
I mean, is that's a thing now, is that the Bills didn't keep Mac Hollins? My Chiefs buddy Davis Maddock suddenly decided that he thinks Worthy is terrible.
Interesting.
I mean, you got Hairston out here being like, I didn't have to try on half the plays because right. Worthy was giving away that he didn't expect the ball.
Right.
I guess we'll never be able to get away from Xavier Worthy, no matter what he looks like. It's just somebody that the Bills didn't want.
They got sick of Diggs, is what happened. Really, yeah. I think. You know, we can argue about his production being dropping off or them restricting his production. Either way, the production wasn't there, and he was a headache, is what happened. I mean, fare ye well. He did a great job the 4 years he was here for them.
Yeah, we might even be getting so far down the road on this one that we're getting right to they should have kept Stephon Diggs, which
right.
Hardly anyone has said since the moment he was traded. Thanks, Jeff. Andrew is next. Hi.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I know we're all kind of going through the different thoughts today. We all kind of wanted to see a trade. We saw Bean make some room on the salary cap. Personally, I was kind of hoping for something like a Harrison Phillips, but thinking about it more, I was all bought in on Olave and those types of things, but I don't think anyone has thought to ask, like, who would actually work with Josh? Like, Josh has some trust. He needs that connection, right? He needs to not just trust himself, but know that whoever he's throwing to is actually going to make the play he needs. And it takes a while for him to kind of bond with a person like that, that he knows he can depend on, you know, and Diggs was that guy. Mac Hollins, you know, he's crazy as hell, but he fit right in right away. But you know what I mean? I think that
there's never a guarantee that it's going to work, that the personalities are going to work. The play styles are going to work the way a guy moves. I don't know. The biggest thing you need is someone who can get open. That's what he needs to trust. Is this dude going to line up, whether it's zone or man coverage, and beat his guy to the point where in the second and a half that I have to decide, or the 2.5 seconds, maybe I've got to decide, or if I'm buying time, whatever, but I can hit my back foot and like know that guy is going to beat his guy and I know where he's going to be because he's good. He knows how to run this route and just bing, there it is. That's, you know, chemistry gets developed because the talent is there and the guy can be trusted. He's open. I'm going to hit him near his body enough, near his hands enough that he's going to bring it in. Shakir did not take a long time to develop that with Allen. The first time they're on the field together, he just caught everything that was near him, and he trusts him. That's it. He gets open, and he trusts him. You just need more of that. So whether that was Brian Thomas Jr. or Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed or whoever, somebody that you can – that's how the trust works. Is he good? Does he get open? That's it.
That's it. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I had a partner, business partner, who used to say, sometimes the best deal you make is the deal you don't make. And I just don't understand how people can be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no idea what was available and what was being asked of the Bills. I mean, last year they traded for Amari Cooper. They gave up a third-round pick. It wasn't like Amari Cooper was the difference maker. In fact, after the end of the season, Bills don't sign him. No one else signs him. He just sits around, you know. So I honestly don't know how people in a vacuum can comment or be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no clue, no clue what was available and what was being asked of him. Obviously, he weighed the side, you know, each side of this deal, looked at a bunch of things, and decided this doesn't make any sense because they're asking too much or they're not giving enough, or that's really just the flip side of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my view, and I'd be curious to know what you think.
I think, thank you, Matt. I think two things about this. One, it has just become this incredible tidal wave from fans, you know, perhaps somewhat or largely spurred on by what they hear here. The station largely kind of has one view when it comes to receiver. And now you have this tidal wave of takes on how the Bills, it's the sum total. It's not just today. It's the couple of years, couple of drafts, this, and you kind of put it all together like, he just doesn't care about it as much as wide receiver. He just doesn't care about it or respect it as much as we want him to. I think it's not just today. You're right. We don't know what went down today, but we know it was nothing. And, oh, yeah, that's typical. You know, people are going to talk like that. The other thing that might be even more relevant, I just think we're all super tense about this. And even when they beat Carolina 40-9, and then pretty much rough up the Chiefs. We're like, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of that. And I sometimes wonder, like, I guess I would think Bean once in a while would listen to the radio station. I think it's pretty clear that he does. And maybe they all do. Maybe a lot of them do. And I wonder if he, like, what he thinks this really is. Like, is this all Jeremy's fault? Is it yours or mine? Because it's just fan after fan after fan every day, even after blowout wins, complaining about this. And today it's at a peak because it's the deadline, right? Will we do this tomorrow? Oh, my God, I hope not. Will we do this just every day until the season ends? If they win a Super Bowl 10-9, will we do it the next day after the Super Bowl? Will we have megaphones at the parade? You didn't have enough. It'll be like a T-shirt or a billboard. It's the combination of different moments, opportunities that went by the wayside, and then we're just like, oh, my God, this team had better win a Super Bowl. I'm going to die.
Yep.
Touch some grass. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. We do sound a little bit crazy, or a lot, I think. Good night for a hockey game. 6 o'clock pregame, Sabres in Utah. Back to your calls after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think it would be crazy, We've seen a lot of very good offenses like the Chiefs, like the Baltimore Ravens in the past, the 49ers, to have Dalton Kincaid be your focal point of your passing offense, where he's the one who's getting between 6 to 10 targets a game. But sure, his yards per route run average is still like near the top of the league. He's made a lot of plays. He's taken the step that really Brandon Bean pushed him on in the offseason. He's got to get bigger. He's got to be available. He hasn't been available a ton, but when he's been on the field, he's been really productive.
Chris Trapasso, the Bills and the Dolphins, Sunday at 1. No new additions, though, for the Bills, as the trade deadline has come and gone, and the Bills did not make any moves. I wanted to be accountable. I did the thing I just said at the break you should do. Go touch some grass. I went outside and touched grass.
All right.
I literally did.
It's nice to be able to do that while it's still available to you.
Grass?
Yeah.
No snow yet.
Yeah. I thought about today at about 11 a.m. It was 50 degrees, and I thought, I should just go play 9 holes right now at the park. This might be my last chance.
It might be.
And, you know, I talked myself out of it. Not so much time, or because I wanted to be in front of my computer waiting for the Bills trade that never happened. I just thought it rained like crazy, and as much as that place drains, it's probably pretty wet. And I was like, I'll be like hitting my third shot of the day and be like, what am I doing? So I had the thought and then talked myself right out of it. But it was a nice, calm 50 degrees. Could have worked.
Plus, it's tougher to watch ADP chasing from the golf course than from your home.
Now you really cut right to it. That's it. I did see people at Grover on my way here. I'm like, man, good for you guys.
Yeah, I love that. It might be it. Today might have been it.
Yeah.
Wet tomorrow. Not in the morning, though.
Yeah, and highs moving through the weekend are like not, you know, high 40s at best.
Mm-hmm.
So today might have been the day.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to wear pants at some point. Maybe I'll choose to wear pants at some point.
Right.
Shorts just now.
Going to die hard on the... He's become that guy, folks.
I went out to not only touch grass, but build character.
Mm.
Just now, just a minute ago. Lou is next. Hi, Lou.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
So the question I want to ask you guys is, when, if ever, do you guys feel is the right time to say blank them picks? For me, I feel like some factors that are at play here primarily are, one, that the AFC to me feels a little bit weak this year, with Baltimore having some issues, Joe Burrow being out for a majority of the season, Kansas City halfway through the year being 5-4, third in their division. I feel like an analogy for this is like if you're hunting, right? And a Super Bowl is the thing that you're hunting, and you've got it in the crosshairs, but you're kind of debating, you know, when is the right time to pull the trigger. Pulling the trigger being, you know, blank them picks. To me, it feels like this year, a lot of the things are going right to pull that trigger, primarily with the AFC being weak and us obviously having the ability to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying we don't have the ability to win a Super Bowl, but I think us having that ability is a reason to actually try to push it over the edge. I know that the Rams were brought up earlier by you, Mike, so just curious on your thoughts on when, if ever,
yeah.
is a good time to say blank them pick.
I don't know, like, to the extent that the Rams, I mean, they won, they get to brag about it all they want. Blank them pick sounds like I don't care about it. Like, what do I got to pay? Any price. I want this player. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl, and I'll give you this year and next year's. Like, I'm not eager to do that. But, I mean, I said earlier, and I'll say it again, I would have traded next year's one for either Brian Thomas Jr. or Chris Olave. I would have done that. I think they're young enough, and their futures, more so Thomas Jr., doesn't have the injury history, and he's a little bit younger, maybe even a lot younger. But still, either guy could be on a new five-year contract and be your number one receiver for the next 5 years. And that, to me, would be worth, and you believe, you have reason to believe, maybe more so in the case of Olave than Thomas, that they are capable of doing that for you, that they're that level of good. That, to me, would have been a price worth paying. I don't think every year that the Bills have been a contender, I would say trade your first-round pick for a receiver or anyone. This year, I definitely would have. I just think I think the void on the roster makes it called for, and where they are on their timeline with Allen turning 30, optimistically halfway through his career here, and, you know, at some point some of what he's capable of doing is going to diminish. He's not going to be the athlete hurtling over. Has he jumped over anyone this year yet, by the way? Just saying. He's not going to be capable of doing that and living to tell about it forever. And we might be like very close, if not already in that period of time. So go get it. So I would have traded a one. I don't think that's exactly, you know, screw all the picks. It's one pick. And it's a significant asset, but I think it would have been called for.
Would you have made the Gardner trade?
Two number ones? No.
Even as the Colts?
Definitely not as the Colts.
Okay.
I respect them taking their shot. With Daniel Jones as my quarterback, I would not do that.
Okay. I think the Jets found out about your bet that the Jets will not make the playoffs until at least 2030, and they decided to get to work today. They're shooting for 28.
I wish them luck.
I don't know. Don't take my answer to this question too seriously, because I feel from playing so much fantasy football, this is a weakness for me. I never want to pull that trigger. I love picks. I always want to, in theory, have teams that are good forever. If I finish second, no, you don't care if I finish second or first. You know, the money's different, but it's my money. Nobody cares. I don't have that pressure.
Right.
So I just never want to do it. And I could not have made the Gardner trade. I would not have wanted to make either of those trades probably either. Thomas, I just feel like there'd have to be something wrong for that to even be possible. He just turned 23. He had a great rookie season. So I'm very tough. My partners in fantasy will tell you I'm very tough to convince to trade big draft assets. I hate to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not the right guy to ask.
I'm definitely not approaching it from a, I'm bored, I'm in the business of talking, and I want action, and like, you know, everybody else is doing stuff. I think it was called for here.
And I respect that.
And not even just that receiver. I mean, they lost significant guys on the defensive line in the last 2 weeks. And I'm just, I guess, in-house. I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't hear as much about that marketplace, really. You know, like what was I mean, I know Quinnen Williams got traded. And I mean, that's a monster player. But even he, that's a tighter one. Like if I could have given up my one and, I mean, who's my Mozzie Smith, right? But they gave up a one and a two, right? It's a two this year and a one next year is what Dallas did.
Yes.
And
it's Dallas's one next year, not Green Bay's,
right,
which they have.
At his age, carrying the contract, I don't know that I would have loved that. I mean, I think for right now it would be great, but moving forward, I think that would have been a harder sell for me, considering what they've got on the books defensively already to add a king. Like I would have been thinking about a rental. The Von Miller idea that bounced around from like 3 to 4 o'clock, I did not hate that idea as someone to just come in and maybe even do exactly what, well, they've had Solomon doing it in addition to Hoyt, but interior, I could have seen that. But that didn't come to fruition. I think that was as called for, if not more called for, than anything on offense even. And I still would have liked to see them do something big on offense.
Here's Zach next. Hi, Zach.
More dead horse beating, and I think we have gone mad. I originally called in to complain about Bean, but the longer I sat on hold, I was reminded that it was defense that let them down in the last two playoff games. And I'm sure Bean had a fist pump there at the end with Bosa hitting Mahomes and Harrison picking off Mahomes, you know, right over Worthy at the end there. But I guess I'm just frustrated that people are we're at a trade deadline. People are upset they didn't, like, fix their wide receiver woes at the trade deadline. It's just frustrating that we're at this point. I generally approve of what Bean and McDermott have done, but I just wish there was like more put into, you know, a receiver when you got this kind of quarterback. I mean, really outside of Coleman, you know, they take flyers on Dwayne Robertson's of the world and Landon Collins of the world. Like, give me more there than defensive linemen that are going to play 30% of the snaps. You know, throw something at your quarterback. You know, throw more there. And I know they have two out of the last three. And if you really want to include Cook as a running back, offensive playmaker, three out of the last four drafts, they've used two, you know, some of their high picks on it. And listen, I appreciate what he's done on the offensive line. And I appreciate, you know, where they're at on defense, because they are better and it's starting to show. these last 2 weeks. Hopefully it wasn't just Hoyt that made it, but it is frustrating that they're, you know, like they're going to go into the offseason here. We still don't have any answers. Like, and I'm not one of those people that really wanted to get a Shahid. I feel like they might have Shahid and more. You wouldn't know. I mean, they just don't use him. They don't throw to him. They don't, you know, I wasn't about to, you know, a caller a couple calls ago talked about Cooper. They gave up a third for a guy that caught 20 passes. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I'm not even so sure that they would use him. And that's not just a Bean criticism.
That we got to go, Zach. Interesting stuff. That might be the best point of the whole lot is, well, I mean, we think they made calls, but would they get enough out of the player if they traded for him for us to think it was worth it? You know, that's part of the math, you know, like what kind of offense are they running? Are we're going to take Jackson Hawes and Alec Anderson out back and like now, or we're just, you know, we're just replacing Coleman or something like that. There's just a lot to think about with this. And also dog cloning. We haven't even gotten to that yet.
I really thought when they didn't make a trade by 4 o'clock that we would spend an inappropriately large amount of time talking about Tom Brady cloning his dog.
My wife said she would not be for cloning our dog or our former dog, and I was taken aback by that. I thought it was...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of a way to pay a compliment to a dog is to say you would clone. I told Margot I would clone her.
I love Fred. Nothing against, you know, no one loved the other two dogs we've had in my family before we got Fred more than me.
Of course.
Probably people did. Because I'm lying. Fred is my favorite dog ever, and it's like not even close. Like the second place is not even in the rearview mirror. Oh, wow. Fred is so cool.
Wow.
I mean, we won't have him.
Gotta save the blood.
Get some blood before it's too late. This is just so weird.
Get some blood before it's too late. Very normal behavior.
Very relatable. Very, very man of the people. Like, pull up a bar stool and have a beer with Tom Brady. I cloned my dog. What?
Sabres and Utah, pregame at 6 here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.